This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. Yesterday, Russian President Vladimir Putin was reported saying that pursuing further sanctions against North Korea is useless. He was quoted as saying they rather eat grass and give up their nuclear program. This comes in response to a move by the US at the UN following news that North Korea had successfully exploded a hydrogen bomb on Sunday. On Monday, the US said it would push for tougher sanctions at the UN. Russia's Putin said also that ramping up a military hysteria could lead to global catastrophe. He said diplomacy is the only answer. On that score, China has welcomed a proposal by Switzerland to mediate negotiations with North Korea. Now, on the line, we have Dr. Na Lien Tuang, a research fellow on military studies at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies in Singapore. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to begin with a statement made by the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, who responded to these latest escalation of tensions by saying that the U.S. had an effective and overwhelming military response to the situation. Some of them say that this kind of rhetorical overreach is undermining the U.S. regional standing under the Trump administration. Do you think that the U.S. is involved in some sort of a rhetorical overreach?
Morning, Sharad. I don't. I think that Secretary Mattis has stated is entirely prudent, because if you look at his language, what he's trying to say is if North Korea attempts to attack, physically launch a missile or do anything to harm the U.S. or any of its allies, then the United States will respond in an overwhelmingly overpowering fashion. It's an attempt to exert a deterrent effect on a otherwise on a regime that the international community would deem to be unstable, aggressive, and antagonistic.
Now, can we look at the South Korean and Japanese responses to this situation? They're the immediate neighbors, along with China, of course. The two countries, of course, rely on the security architecture provided by the U.S. My first question is a very basic question. Why did the Japanese shoot down that missile that passed over its territory?
Sorry, can I rephrase the question? Why didn't the Japanese
shoot? Why didn't the Japanese shoot down the missile that passed over their territory, over Hokkaido?
Of course, the details of the upper limits of Japanese technical capability with regard to their missile intercept systems is classified. But from commonly available information, what the Japanese are able to do is to shoot down a missile traveling at 500 kilometer altitude. As the North Korean, the latest North Korean missile, a Hwasong-12, flew over Japan, it was flying at 550 kilometers altitude, which is beyond the capabilities of the Japanese system. So short answer would be the Japanese couldn't. However, the thing is, if the Japanese ultimately could shoot it down, trying to intercept that missile would be it wouldn't be a guaranteed thing. It's a hit or miss thing. Attempting to shoot down a missile and missing would undermine any sense of deterrence that the Japanese were trying to exert on North Korea. And the other issue is that if the Japanese actually did attempt to shoot down the missile and succeeded, what the Japanese would be doing is telegraphing their capabilities to not only North Korea but to the rest of the world, which would undermine any sense of, or rather undermine the sense of technological deterrence that Japan was able to exert.
Well, what about the South Koreans? They have that THAAD missiles defense system that I believe the U.S. operates.
South Korea has a THAAD system, but the THAAD system is meant to deal with a missile which is incoming into South Korea. It's not; it doesn't have the capability to intercept a missile which is above all flying away from South Korea towards Japan, or traveling at that high an altitude.
Okay, now coming back to the question of a possible war scenario, there are, of course, observers who argue that the U.S. will lose in any war scenario, saying that even though a combined military force with South Korea could win, inevitably and in the long term win such a conflict. Even, I think, former White House advisor Steve Bannon says that he can't imagine a scenario that doesn't involve the death of millions of South Koreans in the first couple of minutes of a nuclear confrontation. Is Is this a winnable situation for the U.S.?
Is it a winnable situation for the U.S.? Yes, it is a winnable situation for both the U.S. and South Korea. And this, in this case, I shall refer to them as the U.S. ROK Alliance. It is a winnable situation, at least from the medium term and beyond. The thing which the psychological hump and the political impact of a conflict with North Korea comes from the approximate estimation of 8 to 10 million killed in Seoul from the thousands upon thousands of artillery pieces that the DPRK has deployed behind the 38th parallel and pointed at Seoul. Traditionally, that's been North Korea's deterrent mechanism, that if there was ever a risk that they were attacked by the United States, or they were attacked by the United States and they were now at war, the mechanism for deterrence is that that North Korea would hold Seoul to ransom with all these artillery pieces by destroying the capital city. So the biggest impediment or to any American preemptive strike or any American or in conjunction with South Korean military option would be the destruction of Seoul and the deaths of millions. But ultimately, the war is winnable.
Coming back to Vladimir Putin and his call for not just a diplomatic solution, but his kind of pouring cold water over the idea of tougher sanctions, what do you make of the Russian position?
What do I make of the Russian position? I think that, it's frankly speaking an exercise. And personally, I'm just expressing a personal opinion. I just want to caveat here. Expressing a personal opinion has got nothing to do with the opinions of my university, my employer, my research institution, and above all, it has absolutely nothing to do with the opinions of the Singapore government. But I think that President Putin has his own private agenda, has his own national agenda to deal with. I frankly feel that what he has said is basically hypocrisy, because if you are a great power, a nuclear power, member of the United Nations Security Council permanent five, P5, you have an interest in preserving the nuclear non-proliferation regime in the world. Relinquish the pressure on North Korea to denuclearize is, frankly speaking, I believe a bit hypocritical. If he says that putting economic pressure or sanctions on North Korea is futile, I would tend to disagree. As a matter of fact, I actually hold the opinion that the current pressure on North Korea is actually relatively light. Much more can be done to pressure North Korea with the case of Iran, and if economic pressure increases drastically, I think we will see a drastic change in Pyongyang's attitude.
Coming back to Steve Bannon, the former White House advisor, he says the key to all this is, in fact, China. Is China capable of containing North Korea's nuclear ambitions?
Short answer is yes. China is capable of containing North Korea very effectively. I quote a former a previous statement by a Chinese official who says ultimately that firstly, we don't have any fine control over North Korea. North Korea doesn't seem to want to listen to China's subtle hints, signaling, and whatnot. However, what China can do is knock out North Korea. China can apply economic pressure to such an extent that it brings North Korea to its knees. The key here is to do it in such a way that you overwhelmingly seize the attention of the Kim regime and tell the Kim regime to stop its nonsense, without, of course, causing an internal collapse of North Korea. But that's a very fine line, and that's a very big risk that China is not willing to take. Frankly speaking, if China wanted to, it could cause a 30% contraction in North Korea economy, which would definitely achieve this particular goal. The only thing that China seems to be extremely leery about is this collapse of the Kim regime, a collapse of the North Korean state, and the resultant refugee crisis on its borders. The specter of 20 million North Koreans trying to cross the border into China is something that Beijing is very afraid of.
Thank you very much. It was Dr. Na Lien Tuang, a research fellow on military studies at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies in Singapore. We'll be back with more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.